This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchanan, and Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Jeff Jadia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Just terrific.
Happy post-bye week.
Stephen's had it.
I've had it with everything.
It's
Tuesday. Oh, I know, right?
This is long, long week to go. Yeah, it's like that right now.
You know what? The weeks have been going by pretty fast, pretty quick. I can't complain about that. Before we get into anything else, we had Herm Edwards on the show yesterday, and he said, watch Cam Newton tonight. He's done relying on other people. He's putting everything on his shoulders. You're going to see Superman put his cape on. I mean, Herm was talking him up. It's like Herm, like a professional wrestling manager. He was feeling it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, all right. I'm going to tell you what. I know Cam's been up and down, but Cam looked pretty damn good last night, including a 69-yard run. He had almost 100 yards rushing on 5 carries, 4 touchdown passes. The running game looked good. I think they've really started to get in a groove as far as understanding and executing the way they use Christian McCaffrey. I like that. He scored a couple of touchdowns last night. I know they traded Kelvin Benjamin, but Devin Funchess has stepped in to that number one receiving role. He looked good last night. Man, look, the NFC's wide open. We talk about the Saints, they look good, but the Panthers, they're right there. What did you think of how they looked last night offensively?
Yeah, they look good. I mean, obviously they did a lot of good things, and you know, they are a threat. They're 7-3, quiet 7-3 in a league where I think probably if you didn't have the Rams, the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Saints playing the way they're playing, I think all four of those teams are pretty big surprise teams as far as leading their divisions and having the records they have. You'd be talking more about Carolina right now. But, you know, it's like I saw him like 3-4 weeks ago against Detroit, and he had a huge game then. He had two big back-to-backs game, Cam Newton I'm talking about, and then he had a couple duds. So I'm kind of like waiting to see how it all plays out for them. But I think right now, yeah, they're going to be in the mix. They're right there.
Okay, so we can do this with all of us. I want to hear what you guys have to say, whether you agree with me or not. For all these NFC teams, you either tell me contender or pretender, whether you really believe they're a contender for the Super Bowl. So we'll start with Philadelphia. I think they're a contender. I think they're for real.
Yeah, I think they're all contenders, but I think they're the biggest one right now because they have the best record.
See, I don't believe in Minnesota. I don't think they'll win in the playoffs. I say they're a pretender when it comes to the playoffs and winning in the playoffs.
I just saw them this past weekend. Look, when Case Keenum is throwing for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns,
right,
and you're scoring 38 points against a pretty good Redskins defense, I think they'll be okay. Bridgewater comes back, I think they'll be all right.
So I do believe in Philadelphia. I don't think Minnesota. I don't. I'd be shocked if they went to the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a question real quick though. You said when Bridgewater comes in, if Keenum's playing like this, do you bench him for Bridgewater?
Well, right now I wouldn't. But I think at some point they're going to be playing Teddy Bridgewater as their starting quarterback. I think that's been their plan all along. And it's tough when you got a quarterback who's on a nice streak. If Bridgewater came in, they're playing the Rams this week. It's a huge game. Bridgewater ends up playing, doesn't play well, then there's going to be all these questions about should you have gone back to Keenum or stuck with Keenum. So I get it. I think right now they had the luxury of saying Keenum's playing well. Let's keep him in there until he's not playing well, and let's go back to Bridgewater when ready.
I will say this, even though I think Philadelphia is a real contender, I'm going to defer to teams that have quarterbacks that have gone to the Super Bowl versus guys that have not really had any success in the postseason. It's just a different animal, and I think that's going to be interesting to watch because that the Eagles and the Vikings and the Rams all fall into that category.
Yeah.
And quarterbacks that have not done it at that next level. And you can say whatever you want about the regular season. We've seen that in Kansas City. The regular season is different than the postseason. And so I'll defer to the Saints and the Panthers and the Seahawks maybe when they come to these matchups. I may defer to Russell Wilson and Cam Newton and Drew Brees when it comes down to who ends up being successful in the playoffs. What do you think?
I would agree with that. If you were to ask me who's the best team right now in the NFC, it's New Orleans. I know people love Philadelphia, but
I'm with you.
They're getting ready to play a really tough. They're getting ready to go through the same stretch the Chiefs just went through. They've got the They got the Cowboys. They got the Cowboys on the road, the Rams on the road, and I think the Seahawks on the road. Three of the next four games. So, you know, we were sky high about the Chiefs when they were 5-0, and then they went through this last stretch and they've lost three of their last four games. I could easily see the Eagles losing three of the next four games.
That's going to be a great NFC playoff.
Yeah, it's a great situation. But the Saints right now, with the way they're running the football, the way they're playing defense, and having Drew Brees, you know, MVP caliber, Super Bowl winning quarterback, future Hall of Fame quarterback, still playing at a high level. They're going to be a very tough out in the postseason.
That's the way from Carolina last night, the way they ran the football as well, not only with Cam Newton and McCaffrey in certain spots, but Stewart had a good night last night. When you can run the football and then you're in a situation where you have to throw the football and you can still, you're multifaceted. I don't know if Philadelphia can run the football when they need to in the playoffs. I don't know if Minnesota is going to be able to. I don't know if the Rams, if Gurley, they can. The one thing about the Seahawks, I don't know if they can, if they need to.
They can.
Russell Wilson. But yeah. Russell Wilson can.
He's there.
And that's why.
Tailback, yeah, starting tailback, Russell Wilson.
Maybe when you start talking about MVP, people better start talking more about him because everything's on his shoulders for that offense. Nate Piketty, Jake Pounders.
I like the Saints because of what you guys said. I mean, I think you combine running game and defense with a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's a pretty darn good combination. And what I like is the fact that because they are more well-balanced on offense, you have not seen Drew Brees turning the ball over like he has so much over the past few years. You know, I think because Drew Brees is a tremendous quarterback mostly, but also because he's won a Super Bowl and because he's put up these ridiculous numbers, we've been willing to overlook the high number of turnovers. He's thrown a lot of picks over the last several years, and you know, he's on pace to have below double-digit picks for the first time since 2004 when he was with the San Diego Chargers. And I just think, I know people get tired of me harping on turnovers, but I do think that it's the biggest determining factor on wins and losses is the plus-minus, or the giveaway-takeaway. And he doesn't have to take as many chances. You know, you just are in such a better position as a quarterback to have time to throw, to not have to take chances and all that when you have a good running game. They have two great-looking running backs to me.
Yeah.
And that also helps your defense. That's probably part of the reason their defense is playing better. I like the Saints a lot, right? And I think that's the type of football that wins on the road in cold-weather playoff games.
Yeah, crazy stat about them. They've gone 8 years before they won a game without Drew Brees throwing a touchdown pass. And that happened like 3 weeks ago. It's now happened twice.
This past weekend, yeah.
And so it's like they completely changed their whole identity. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the Chiefs, you know, segue back into what's happening here. It's like you can change things up. You can change what you do. This team was giving up 1,000. They gave up 1,000 yards of offense in the first 2 weeks of the season. They were getting killed. They were talking about, is this the end for Sean Payton? Mm-hmm. They weren't playing any defense. They ran the ball like, I think, 18 times in the first two games. They're averaging 180 yards a game since then rushing. They've got a defense that's taking the ball away like crazy, and it's just because, all right, we can't win this way. We can't win with Drew Brees throwing the ball all over the place.
Okay, so unless one of these teams collapses, we don't anticipate that, but there's your six playoff teams right there. It looks like Philadelphia out of the East and then Minnesota out of the North. You get the Saints and the Panthers from the South and then the Rams and the Seahawks in the West. I mean, I guess Dallas could crack it, but no.
About the Falcons?
Yeah, Falcons may make a late run. Yeah,
I think the Seahawks are going to start trending down.
I'm going to stick with those six.
I think the Seahawks, I mean, with Richard Sherman going out and
that's a big loss.
The lack of the ability to run the ball. I mean, I think
Thomas banged up.
Yep, I think the Seahawks are going to fall off. I think the Falcons might slide into that last spot.
We'll see this Sunday night because they play the Falcons.
Right. Yeah, that'll be a good game.
It's just so much to put on Russell Wilson. I mean, he's a tremendous player, but asking him to just run all over the place and fire the ball down the field for their entire offense, it doesn't seem something that's like really sustainable.
They've been doing it for 3 years now.
That's true. True enough. But
I think the age is going to catch up to this defense. I think it is starting to.
It already is. It already is. I mean, you saw that earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And nobody stays on top forever.
It's funny that you say that about Russell Wilson, because I've fought for Russell Wilson on this show, and it seems like on this radio station, and just like with every, it's of all the elite quarterbacks, he seems like the guy that people are just have a tough time calling him an elite quarterback and giving him credit for what he does. And like Nate said, I don't know if it's sustainable. You said, well, that's what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they haven't gone to the Super Bowl with him playing like that.
Yeah, they've had an elite defense. When he was winning championships, he was playing with an elite defense. And I think people always felt like that defense was the biggest reason for their success. And Marshawn Lynch. So those things are going away. I mean, he's doing a very good job, but it's like it's not yielding the same high-end results that it did back when, you know, when
it seems like those he's elements. All they got now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mean it as a knock
does that
on
make him. Elite? Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a knock on him. I'm saying, like, you know.
And he's typically a slow starter. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been on fire of late. And, I mean, that's the reason they're even in the picture is because of him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a credit to him. And it's, you know, I think it's, I don't have a problem calling him an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a stud. Probably a top five quarterback now.
Right. I feel like people don't realize he threw 26 touchdown passes each of his first two seasons.
Right.
When I had to constantly hear the comparison, him and Alex Smith are the same quarterback. No, they're not.
And to be fair, when he was going to the Super Bowls, in the playoffs,
he had huge plays and won games.
Yeah, the win against the Packers a couple of years ago. That was an enormous. He put that team on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm just talking about them going to the playoffs. I mean, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think they have a Super Bowl run in them, but I still think they're going to make the playoffs. But the Richard Sherman thing—that's a good point. That could be something they could have a tough time overcoming.
Game changer.
I mean, I guess you know it kind of is a similar point to the one I'm making about Drew Brees right now. Is like Drew Brees clearly an elite quarterback. He's got a better chance of sustaining success, like going deep into the postseason, because they've got a running game and a defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's hard. It's hard for a quarterback, even though we talk about how great quarterbacks, you know, you have to have a great quarterback. It's still hard for a great quarterback to win the Super Bowl by himself. Yeah. Tom Brady still had the number one scoring defense in the NFL last year, even though, I mean, look, they don't sniff the Super Bowl without Tom Brady. I'm not saying that. But, I mean, look how hard it's been for Aaron Rodgers to get a team to the Super Bowl when he doesn't have, you know, when he's doing it all by himself. He's good enough to get him to the playoffs, you know, but it's just hard.
And Seahawks' schedule's rough the last 6 weeks. I mean, they got the Falcons this week. The 49ers is easy game. But then they got the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Rams, and then on the road in Dallas.
Well, and the point you're making, Nate, is a valid point. Because it's such a quarterback-driven league, because it's a passing league, people think if you get the quarterback, you're going to win.
Right.
And you still need all these other elements to win championships. To be good.
Yeah, if you have a great quarterback, you're going to the playoffs probably way more often than not. But trying to win the whole thing, it's like, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a good defense. I feel like most times you'll see teams that have a top five defense and, you know. And
look at what's happened to the guy here. He's playing at an MVP level the first 5 weeks. Defense goes down. Running back stops running.
looks like, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Things
change. That's true for everybody.
But, I mean, more times than not, you have to have an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl.
For sure.
I don't know if that's true. I think that's like because we've had Tom Brady and Peyton Manning that era. I mean, there's been, if you go throughout the whole course of history, even the last 20 years, there's probably less. You're probably going to find fewer Hall of Fame winning quarterbacks than just guys who were just good quarterbacks. I probably bet you would find that.
As far as the Super Bowl,
Flacco's won a couple.
Joe Flacco, Trent Dilfer, Mark Rippon, Brad Johnson.
Flacco only won one.
You're talking about winning a Super Bowl.
Winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So okay.
Eli Manning,
Tom Brady,
is he elite?
No. I'm throwing him on your
side.
We'll
go in reverse order. Tom Brady.
Elite.
Peyton Manning.
But did we count him that year?
Was he elite that year?
He was average at best that year, you know?
And Osweiler played in, what, five of those games, four of those games? I
mean, that team was, that was all about their defense.
Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and then Flacco.
Was Wilson elite when he won?
That was 2000.
I mean, he's elite now, but was he then?
I mean, I thought he was then, and I think he is now. So, I mean,
I'm just saying that it's just we hype it up, but in the day, it's like you start looking at those teams that win. It was just like Brady's the only guy who I would say maybe Peyton Manning back with the Colts, but even that year they ran the ball well in the playoffs.
Well, even that Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Roethlisberger, those were all three elite guys when they won it.
Yeah.
2014, when Russell Wilson won it, he threw for 3,475 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 7 picks.
Well, that's not elite.
Now, he also ran for 849 yards and 6 touchdowns.
That's
that
elite.
Year. That's a big difference maker right there. 849 yards rushing?
Was he an elite quarterback that year?
Well, how do you not count that?
Man. He was
almost 1,000-yard back on his own.
I'm saying, look at the if we're going to say elite, to me, elite is like top five.
I think he was. That's my opinion.
So, I don't think he was one of the five best
quarterbacks.
That's
a tough call because if you combine the rushing yards, that's over 4,000 yards of offense. If you're just looking at him as a passer, he was 30th in the NFL in passing yards that year. Yeah. That's not elite. But if you add almost 1,000 yards rushing to it,
does that make him elite? I don't think it does. It makes him pretty good.
It's a good.
But I'm saying,
how many running quarterbacks have ever done that in the history of the NFL?
Not many. But I would say when Michael Vick was a quarterback, he wasn't an elite quarterback to me. He was a great runner. I mean, I get your point. I'm not saying,
right. but then you factor in what he did in the postseason. Too.
I mean, I think that
and when he won the championship, when they won the championship,
If you're going to win the Super Bowl as a non-elite quarterback, you have to have a completely elite defense.
Yeah.
Like elite defense, like number one.
I would say that's a better predictor of championship success. How good is your defense? Very few teams win championships without defenses that are top
five. That's a scary thing for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, that's obvious. Yeah. I mean, I think the Saints were the only team in the last 15 years to win a championship without a top five defense. But I think their defense led the league in turnovers that year, or in takeaways.
Well, when Peyton Manning won it with Indianapolis, their defense was not good.
No. That's what I'm saying. I think that you can give him that one. But I think their running game took off in the postseason that year, if I remember correctly.
Then they got Bob Sanders back to help that back into that defense. But,
yeah.
I mean, they were getting shredded all year.
That was 2006, I would say
even when Tom Brady won his first championship, he wasn't an elite quarterback.
Right.
He was I think when Ben Roethlisberger went to his first Super Bowl, he was a bit of a game manager. He developed into that elite quarterback. Tom Brady was a game manager that first year, developed into an elite quarterback. I think Russell Wilson was more of a game manager who's developed into an elite quarterback.
But you say that
the year they won the Super Bowl, he had 26 touchdown passes.
You say that, but Tom Brady still led him on that drive to put him in field goal range to win that game.
No, he played well. I'm not saying that he wasn't good.
Isn't that part of his eliteness? Isn't that him doing that? Isn't that kind of a part of it?
I'm saying in that point in time, you could say, yeah, he became an elite quarterback. But I remember having conversations with coaches a year or two after he won that championship, and they were like, yeah, "Is Tom Brady really going to be the guy who becomes a Hall of Famer?" Like people were like not sold on him.
So it was 2013 that the Saints
lost to the Broncos.
Yeah,
in 14.
I was looking at his 2014 numbers.
But I guess the overall point I'm making here is that you have to have a good quarterback. But I don't think you have to have an elite quarterback to win a championship. I think that's what the myth is. And again, elite to me is top five passing.
Then who are the top five? So you don't nothing with their legs.
I think it helps. I think throwing the football. When I'm thinking about quarterbacking, I'm talking about throwing the football.
Who's the top five? Who's top five then?
Right now?
Because, like, I mean, Elway was a great quarterback with his arm, too, but he would kill the Chiefs with his legs. And I think about that's one of the things that made him even more special.
Yeah, I think at the end of his career, he was – I have to look and see who was playing at that point or what kind of numbers he was putting. But I don't think he was, like, the best quarterback in the league.
No, he wasn't. No, Terrell Davis was the team. Think about it then. Who are the five? You said the five elite, the top five quarterbacks. I want to hear who you think.
Right now?
Yep, or the top five quarterbacks.
Right now?
We'll take a break, and then you answer it. See?
Okay.
Now they're going to come back. They were all going to leave us during the commercial break. Now they're going to stay with us on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now we're talking about the Tennessee head coaching vacancy and all the big names are going to be fighting each other to grasp this position. The New York Daily News is reporting that the University of Tennessee has expressed interest in Jets defensive coordinator Casey Rogers to be the next head coach. So that'll take care of that. He is a Humboldt, Tennessee native.
Ah, there we go.
And spent the last three seasons as Jets defensive coordinator and previously coached in the SEC as defensive line coach at Arkansas. And he also spent three seasons on the Middle Tennessee staff, Middle Tennessee State staff from 99 to 2001. So.
There you go.
He's got no head coaching experience whatsoever.
I would like to go to the Tennessee message boards and see the thread in response to that story.
Remember back when Tennessee was like a powerhouse? Like when I was, we were growing up, like they had always had strong. Peyton Manning was there. They were always playing for, trying to get national championship. They
we had a long conversation about this yesterday.
Yes.
Why is that? Why are you smiling over there?
Jake and I do not think Tennessee is a powerhouse any longer. While someone else,
well, not any longer.
Well, yeah. My point is that
that's why we remember when
right back in the '90s.
Yeah,
I remember. I remember back in the '90s, 20 plus years ago. Yeah,
a long
I remember. Long time ago.
Yeah,
since they've been relevant.
So you were fighting that battle, huh?
My point is not that they are a powerhouse right now, that they are a potential powerhouse, and that they're the type of program that you can win a national championship at. And I think if you get the right coach, you can go win a national championship at Tennessee still.
You know what's tough about Tennessee, though? What college football people tell you?
There's not enough talent in the state.
Not enough talent in the state.
Yeah.
That's sort of the
yesterday.
Yeah, that's the misnomer. Like, a lot of their best players when they were winning were coming from other states.
I get that. That's why I compared a little bit to Nebraska. You know, like when Nebraska was winning, they were getting all their players from Florida and California and Texas. And it's harder to do that these days because all those states have schools that are, you know, up and running and trying and all that stuff. I get it. It's tougher. I'm just saying there aren't that many places in college football that have 100,000-seat stadiums, you know, that fill them up every single
weekend. What difference does that make?
Well, it means you have facilities. It means you have.
So if you have a stadium that holds 92,000 and one that has 105,000, you think that makes that big of a difference?
Well, I think that those are similar numbers. I think if you have a 92,000 seat stadium, I would call you a powerhouse.
I think you're saying the expectations. Powerhouse. If you were in a 100,000 seat stadium, you're expecting people to show up and see a good product.
My point is the level of program as far as, you know, you have to hire the right coach. It's the first thing, but Florida is a better job because it's Florida. And Florida is just behind Texas in talent. Mm-hmm. Georgia's a better job because it's Georgia. And the only states ahead of them are Florida and California and Texas, and then Georgia. And then after that, it's a huge drop-off. And it just so happens that those two schools are in the SEC East as well. Now, Florida's struggling, but they're going to hire a coach right now at the same time as Tennessee. And they'll get to pick the better coach than Tennessee because coaches will want to go to Florida before they'll go to Tennessee. And, and the landscape of college football is different because now you have Missouri. And Tennessee fans don't want to hear that, but look at the results since Missouri's been in Tennessee. It's been pretty even, and they're trying to win in football. South Carolina is a better program than it was back in the 90s. What was South Carolina in the 90s?
Yeah.
Okay, so
South
Clemson Carolina
came back too,
right? And you've got a team like Mississippi State who's paying their football coach $4.5 million.
Yeah.
And so it's just, and the SEC is different. There's more teams. The landscape of college football is a lot different, and that goes for Nebraska as well. And you're right about that. I think that is a good comparison.
I don't disagree. I think Florida is clearly a job I would prefer if I were a coach. I think that the difference between Tennessee and Georgia is a little less, but still there's an advantage there at Georgia because, like you said, there's more talent there. Mm-hmm. So I don't disagree with any of that. My point is more that, like, comparing it to, like, Mississippi State, I think it's a no-brainer. If I want to win a national championship – as a head coach, I got a better chance of doing that at Tennessee than I do at Mississippi State.
I tell you what, something else people say is that a college coach told me this a few years ago, that per capita, some of the best talent in the country is in Alabama and Mississippi. And if you look at their rosters, you look at some of the really freakish athletes that have come out and played football in the last 25 years, a lot of them came from those two states. Mississippi is like got tons of talent. Tons.
I had a guy tell me that, and he works. He works for a program down in the South. Said location, location, location. Tennessee fans are in denial and don't want to accept being second fiddle to Georgia, which they are, and of course Bama, LSU, and Auburn. they're not in that ballpark and won't be moving forward. Recruiting game has changed. Location being close to town is another edge that helps you in recruiting. And Tennessee is lacking. And it's just moving. And just, that's how it is now. And there's no doubt they were a power. But I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, a buddy of mine that grew up in Georgia as a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan. We used to always watch the Tennessee-Georgia game together. He texted me, literally a hair's difference between Georgia and Tennessee. It's all about the coach. Just look at Alabama prior to Saban. So that's a difference of opinion from somebody else who was from Georgia.
Right.
I don't know why.
This guy's in college recruiting and works for a school.
He's saying the coaching or the recruiting?
What?
He's saying a hair's difference. Is he talking about
he's saying that in terms of the
they had a better coach.
The prestige of the job. You know, Tennessee,
that's different.
The program.
Yeah. Well,
gosh,
different.
It's
still prestigious. It's just they're not at a high level.
Nebraska is more prestigious than. Yeah. So, but what state gets you right now?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying. I guess I don't understand why proximity is so much more important today than it was in the 80s and 90s.
I mean, as far as recruiting,
yeah. Like, why is it so much more? I mean, now, if anything, I mean, that's one of the things I heard a lot from Missouri people when they went to the SEC was. It doesn't matter that your kid's not going to as close to home for a lot of your games as you used to be because all the games are on national TV now.
Yeah.
You know,
also,
back in those days,
he was a Tennessee football fan.
That has to
be mentioned.
Proximity matters because I think you have a better chance of figuring out who the best players are earlier and building relationships earlier, and then you're able to like have those kids believe in coming to your program. I think that if you don't have a natural recruiting source. Then you have to be able to really be good about going out of state and figuring out who's good and who's not and building those relationships. And that's when it gets harder. It's easier to hit home runs with in-state kids. That's why Ohio State and Urban Meyer got there. It's like, okay, we're loaded. We don't have to go anywhere. Florida's hurt now because I think there's more programs in that state that were mid-major programs that are actually rising up and they're missing on kids. I mean, Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater, both are Florida kids.
Right.
They went to Louisville to play.
Right.
You know?
That's to me is I guess goes back to why I think it's so much about like the coach is just so vitally important.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Oklahoma has to go to Texas to get the vast majority of their players, but
I
they
have
Bob Stoops for a long time.
Look at Alabama's roster. Go up and down Alabama's roster every year and look at where their players are from. 90% of their players are from Alabama. I guarantee you 90% are from Alabama, which is astounding. Right. But yeah, they got a great coach, but he didn't have to go very far to get players.
Yeah, but they – I mean
– So do you think all your argument for Tennessee is valid for Nebraska?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in some ways even a bigger challenge at Nebraska than it is at Tennessee.
They have way more prestige in Tennessee football.
Yes.
And a way deeper history and better reputation and everything else.
Yeah, I think that's all true. Tennessee's tradition and prestige is pretty damn good, but I haven't looked at the numbers, to stack them up, but I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I do think that they've got even more geographical challenges than Tennessee does.
Nebraska, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee's closer to talent. Alabama's right there. Georgia and Florida are right there.
The best Nebraska football players, skill players, have come out of state, right?
Like Florida, California, and Texas.
Tommy
those
Frazier,
are long, those are all
Nash Phillips, Mike Rozier's. I mean, you go back way back,
right,
their best skill players. For
and again, the
state.
Problem hasn't been Tennessee getting players.
Right. I guess that's my point. I think they need a coach.
Right.
They need a better coach.
And again, it goes back to what are your expectations? He won 9 games back to back years, and so now they weren't happy with him. Look at the next guy. Mm. Imagine if they hired this guy from the Jets after they went. We'll take John Gruden, but maybe we'll talk to Chip Kelly. But I don't know the way things ended at Oregon, and then they find out that this is who they're talking to. I think that speaks volumes. Also,
one of my top 5 elite quarterbacks, right?
Yes, right now.
That's what we teased him at the break. Okay, right now, regardless of injury or guys who are playing right now.
No, you can. Aaron Rodgers needs to be in there.
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger, yes.
Yep.
Because there were people will fight you tooth and nail on that. You think he's still?
I think so.
Why?
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't expect you to say that. So
I think you look at the stats, you look at the way he plays the championships. I think that he hasn't fallen off in any way.
How much does playoff performance matter to you when you say elite quarterbacks? How much do you factor that in?
I think once you've won a championship or two, that doesn't really matter at all anymore. I think once you've been to the mountaintop,
But, I mean, you'll give it to a guy that has had success in the postseason versus someone that has not.
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to be playing at, like, Peyton Manning level at the end of Peyton Manning's career for me to say he's not an elite quarterback.
Brady, Rodgers, Roethlisberger.
Now, you say his production hasn't dropped off at all. He's got 12 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this year.
Well, what was it the year before?
I mean, five of those came in one game, right? Yeah. I guess we could maybe take that with a bit of a grain of salt. So last year, he played 12 games, threw for 2,300. Last year, he played 14 games, 3,800 yards. He had 29 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
Okay. So I still put him in there.
Okay.
I put Russell Wilson in there, and that's put... Man, it's getting tough after
this
that.
This is good.
So you got some people getting down.
That last one.
You have not mentioned the MVP from last year.
Ooh.
Matt Ryan. Yeah.
Is he in there?
He'd be in there.
Yeah. Over Drew Brees?
It's a tough one.
I go Drew Brees.
Nah, I mean, it's like a tie.
No ties here.
Right. I think Matt Ryan. He's
right.
Younger.
Look at what we're wearing. No ties.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's younger.
Gosh, Drew Brees threw for 5,208 yards last year. He did throw 15 picks.
Matt Ryan was almost 5,000, right? Mm-hmm. He was 48.
Mm-hmm. 4,900.
Yeah, although Matt Ryan's not playing at that same level. You know what? I'll take Brees because they're playing. I'll take Brees because they're playing. But it's like a hair's difference.
Consideration?
But it does speak to, like, to me, it's that list is more about the lack of really good quarterbacks at the NFL. You have a lot of young quarterbacks.
Right. Any consideration to Cam Newton?
No.
Any consideration to Carson Wentz? Because he's still so good early, no?
No. He's not even played a full year.
Any consideration to Alex Smith?
No.
Thank you.
Andrew Luck?
Wow.
Yeah. I've been a joker.
I think the thing about
he's in a Europe. Long time we've seen that one.
He's in Europe
right.
Seeking
he's backpacking.
Treatment, sir!
Ouch. I think the thing about Drew Brees over Matt Ryan to me is the consistency of Drew Brees. Like, Matt Ryan's had good years, but he hasn't played like he did last year until he had all that. It all had to kind of come together for him, you know?
Yeah, but I think in the last 5 years, he's been in the playoffs more than Drew Brees has, right?
Yeah, and he's thrown for over 4,000 yards every one of those years.
Yeah, but again, it's really more about I give a lot more credit to guys who've played in Super Bowls. I think to be an elite, you probably have to have played in the Super Bowl. I can't put you in that list if you haven't been at that level.
Well, Jake's working on something feverishly in there. I want to hear what you guys.
No,
say.
I think at this point in time in their careers, if I'm picking my quarterback going into the playoffs, I'm taking Cam before I take Drew Brees.
Well, I've got Brady, Rodgers, and Wilson for sure. And then after that, I wrote down Brees. So Brady, Rodgers, Wilson, Brees for sure.
I'm not arguing.
And then my
those.
Fifth guy would be a battle between Ben Roethlisberger or Cam Newton. I would go Cam Newton. No. I don't know.
I think you guys are overrating Cam based on recent performance. I think if you look at the full body of work this year, it's
14 touchdowns, 11 picks.
I might say how about 2 seasons ago when he was the MVP?
I might say screw it.
I mean, it's like
Wentz.
Roller coaster.
Ooh, Carson Wentz. Whoa, hey, come on.
Easy.
I'm projecting. Yeah.
Give it a month. Like, give it a month. See where it's at.
I kind of like the idea of Carson Wentz, but I'm not ready to go there.
I'm not either. I just wanted to say.
Yeah, I like
Brady,
it.
Wilson, anyway. Rodgers, Brees, Roethlisberger.
I don't feel good putting Roethlisberger in there because
I don't like him either. But they're all Super Bowl chance.
I just can't.
They're all Super Bowl chance. If I had to go into the playoffs,
like you have one of those guys to pick from, like. Between those last couple guys, who are you putting on your team?
Like, who do I want in the playoff game?
Yeah,
Roethlisberger.
I hate saying it.
like on that one play or like one drive, yeah. Roethlisberger, because he'll break my heart.
Yep. He'll do it to you.
Yep.
Is he going to do that again? Is this where this is all going to? Is this where we're headed? Is this what you're trying to set me up for?
I have a funny feeling that they're not going to end up seeing Pittsburgh in the playoffs. I have a funny feeling about that.
I mean, that Pittsburgh team is not perfect.
Because they're going to get upset.
Because Pittsburgh gets upset.
They're going to lose to New England before they go.
Yeah, I just think it's like.
Jacksonville going to knock off the Chiefs before.
So then we'll end it with this. Once again, right now, I know what happened week one. I know what happened. If you're the Chiefs, who would you rather see in the playoffs? New England or Pittsburgh?
Oh, New England. I mean, I just think mentally, I think the Steelers have. Now, I will say this. Joe Haden going down for them is a big loss. It's a big loss, which I said, it's a long season. Yeah, things can change.
Talking. Jake says break, and we always listen to Jake. You know that, right?
Yep.
First time he says break, we break.
We're going to talk more Tennessee football when we come back. Yeah.
That's right.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB. Jeff Chedia joins us. Jeff, the schedule coming out of the bye week is very, very favorable for the Chiefs at the Giants, home against the Bills, who were just embarrassed by the Saints, at the Jets, home against the Raiders, that'll be a tough game, home against the Chargers, home against the Dolphins, and then at the Broncos, they're already quit.
Yeah.
Team players on their team are saying they quit. So that's garbage. And the Chiefs should win every single... Now, they've already lost to the Raiders, so you can't call that a gimme. That's going to be a tough game. The Chargers seem to play everyone tough, so that could be a tough game. But at the Giants, that should not be a tough game. Sorry, I know it's the NFL. That should be a blowout.
Should be.
Home against the Bills?
Should be.
400 yards on the ground to the Saints? At the Jets? I mean, and if they struggle with these teams, isn't that an indication that there's
A Jets team that lost to the Bucks without Jameis Winston and Mike Evans?
Now they had Fitzy.
It would not be surprising to see the Chiefs win out. They've had a lot of success in the second half. They've had a lot of runs. They've been on the last 3 or 4 years. So, at the very least, I think they'd be 6-1. I mean, I think they're a 12-win team. I think what happens in the playoffs? Seeding and all that stuff, I don't know, but I'm curious to see what they do offensively. Like we were talking in the break, I'd love to see them, how they create running opportunities for Kareem Hunt, whether that's more, fullback, running with a fullback or too tight end. I don't know what they'll do. I'd love to see Tyreek Hill, in the slot, maybe moving him around more to create opportunities, maybe more up-tempo. Talked about that. There's things you can do. And then defensively, they got to just figure something out. I don't know what it is, but...
Any suggestions, Jeff?
Play with a lead.
Okay.
That starts. That All helps right. get your offense going.
Alrighty.
Play from ahead. Because, I don't know where... What I think it also is becoming more obvious, and we talked about this in the offseason, where's the leadership? You start to say, okay, who are the guys? Eric Berry's not here, great leader, but like, where are the guys who are going to step up and say this is not acceptable? Like, how do we get? And this team is going through a transition. Some of their best leaders are either hurt or not playing well. So who are the other guys?
You have been no fan of the second and third tight ends on this team, and they clearly like to utilize those guys. Mm-hmm. Should the Chiefs have claimed Martellus Bennett?
They said they
were interested.
That's a bit of a headache. It could have helped him, yeah, but he's a bit of a headache too.
He could be a bit of a headache facing New England in the playoffs, also.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's.
I don't know how this works, but it just seems like that whole thing was orchestrated. He wanted to go to New England, and he orchestrated it so that
his
he
way
could
out.
Do that.
There's some people who think that. I think there's people who feel like that thing went south when Rodgers got hurt. He wasn't happy about being there when Aaron Rodgers went down.
But couldn't the team have claimed him to prevent him from going to New England? I mean, allow that.
But I think that also speaks to how people feel about him as a player. I think
he was telling everybody he was going to retire.
Yeah.
Well, then let him retire, claim him, and bye, and then he's not playing for New England.
Yeah. When you start blowing up your team doctors on Twitter, it's like it's not a...
But you guys know that's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
In the playoffs, he will catch a big touchdown. Can you believe this story? A late-season waiver claimer.
Yep.
I don't know what that was. But, I mean, because that's...
What are you saying?
Well, I'm just
Dirty Rod Patriots.
It just seems like the Patriots,
is, dude.
All these things always happen somehow. They're the team that acquires Brandon Cooks. And just like, don't let them have whatever they like. He said it seemed orchestrated. Well, if it seemed orchestrated, someone step up and freaking do something to not allow them to get their way.
You said the Chiefs were interested, but they didn't.
There was a report that they were interested, but they didn't do it.
They could have claimed him, though, because they would have had a better chance to claim him than the Patriots.
That's why I'm asking you, should they have?
Well,
if for nothing else, just to keep him from going to the Patriots.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't feel like Demetrius Harris has been so good. Oh no, we got this is the guy. I feel like Martellus Bennett would be a.
I think he's a handful. If people aren't crazy about Marcus Peters, I think that would have been like there'd have been more off field drama.
Right. Well, there it is. Yeah.
I think that's probably what drove it.
What's your
like Demetrius Harris? They dropped the ball on this.
Oh,
he's a handful.
He's not a handful.
That's the problem.
I think the Chiefs win handily. Maybe it's a reach to say 40, but I definitely think they get 35. 35-10.
Do you think Ben McAdoo will survive the game or just walk off the field at some point?
May just leave.
Nah, just get in his car and leave.
They say he's going to survive. The ownership came out and said they like him. I don't know what they like, but.
Do they? Yeah. That's good. Great.
That means you're getting fired. Hey, we like you. That means you're definitely a gone.
And goodbye, sir. Where are you going this week?
Going to, where am I going? Cowboys-Eagles.
Cowboys and Eagles? Yeah. All right. Hopefully,
going back to Big D.
Philly can put another nail in that Dallas coffin. Jerry Jones' face. Sorry. I'm not a Jerry Jones fan. Whatever. Thank you very much, Jeff Chedea.
Thank you, guys.
That's Jeff Chedea from NFL Network and NFL.com. I wish you'd have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.